Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And you can mark your spot there. I'm going to pull a Tim Brooks on you today. I'm going to give you two at one time. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and Acts chapter 26, verse 4. So this year, I'm so excited about what we're doing. I think this is perfect, perfect, perfect for our time, for our generation. The theme of Jesus is Lord. It's just perfect. I'm so excited about it, and I'm really excited about being able to be here and share what the Lord laid on my heart to give our church in Hot Springs about 3 weeks ago as I was doing. And so my focus today is Jesus is Lord, but the subtitle of my sermon is Forever Changed. Forever Changed. Forever Changed. You guys have been talking about salvation. So what really does it mean to be saved? What does that really mean? Because there are a lot of ideas about that today. There really, really are. There are a lot of ideas of what it means to be saved and be a Christian. You know, many, many people believe that you can be a Christian and not be biblical. A lot of people think that today. They base their salvation upon feelings and emotions, and not that there's anything wrong with that. God blessed us with those things, but they certainly aren't meant to make decisions for us in our life. So what does it mean to be saved, to make Christ the owner of your life? Well, look with me here in Matthew chapter 4, and I'm just going to read a couple of different encounters that Jesus had with some people that he appeared to, that he called to be ministers of the gospel. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father." So this is their family business, and they're working their family business. And they're there, and they've been fishing all night long, and now they're mending their nets. They're fixing the torn parts of their nets, and they're mending them up. And Jesus came, and he called them. And watch what it says. Immediately. Everybody say that with me. Immediately. They left the boat and their father and followed him. Immediately. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came and he had an encounter with these men. And the direction of their life as a result of this encounter was never the same. They were forever changed. And that is the aspect of salvation that we've got to look at. And I'm going to share some of my own personal testimony this morning just to really tie in what I'm trying to say. Go over to Acts chapter 26, one of my favorite places in the Bible. This is about the Apostle Paul. He's sharing his encounter that he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus. This is actually when he was Saul. And he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, Paul had been traveling, trying to, they were taking Paul to stand before King Agrippa. And Paul had been through all kinds of hardships and difficulties. And now he's finally arrived and he's standing before King Agrippa. And here's Paul sharing his testimony. And I think that's what I like about Paul. He never tires of telling his testimony. And anytime Paul got an opportunity, he was going to tell somebody about what Christ had done in his life because it was so profoundly impacting for Paul. He couldn't help it. He just couldn't help telling people because it absolutely changed everything about him. So here's Paul in Acts chapter 26, verse 4, and we're just going to read a few verses together. He says, "My manner of life from my youth, spent from being among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, and they're willing to testify that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which the 12 tribes have hoped to obtain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God could raise the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them often in the synagogues. I tried to make them blaspheme, and in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. And in this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priest. And at midday, O king, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice say to me in the Hebrew dialect, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads." But he said, "Arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness for me." And he goes on to commission Paul to go to the Jews and the Gentiles, telling them about what Christ had done in Paul's life. Now, I want you to notice as we read in Matthew and as we read in Acts, it says, Jesus came to them and he said to Peter, he said to the sons of Zebedee, he said, "Follow me and I will make you." When he appeared to Paul, he said, "Arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you." And church, I want you to know today that Jesus is in the business of making people. He's in the business of changing people and making people. See, when Jesus appeared to Paul, or to Saul, on the road to Damascus, he was never the same. He was a changed man as a result of that encounter. Paul's life took a completely different course as a result of his encounter with Jesus. And our life has to do exactly the same thing. When you encounter Christ, really encounter Jesus, your life is never, ever the same. You are forever changed. And just as Jesus appeared to the disciples, and just as Jesus appeared to Paul, many of you in this room have had Jesus appear to you. Now, he may not have appeared to you in person, and I get really jealous when I hear about people who he has appeared to in person, because I'm thinking, a good-looking guy like me, why didn't he appear to me? I don't know. But you know, he appeared to you. It may have been at summer camp. It may have been at church. It may have been kneeling at your bed with your parents. I don't know where you encountered Christ, but we've all had Jesus appear to us. For me, it was in 1988. I remember it very clearly. It was in August, in the hot summertime. I had been out partying with a lot of my friends. It was a weeknight, and that was just my normal routine, what I always did. I'd been out drinking, drugging, partying. I got in the wee hours of the morning, very normal for me. I was lying in my bed. And as I was lying there in my bed, Jesus appeared to me. Now, not in physical form. And Jesus spoke to me, but not in my physical ear. But there was no doubt as I was lying in my bed that the voice of God spoke to me. And here's what God said. He said, "Paul, if you don't leave this town, you will not live." Now, the amazing thing was is that I had buried two of my very close friends the last 2 months. As a matter of fact, my closest girlfriend, I had been a pallbearer in her funeral just a month before. And I was a drug dealer in my hometown, believe it or not. I actually lived with two girls there in my hometown. You know, the police always followed me around trying to find opportunity to catch me. So I lived a very lost, dark life. But as I was lying there in my bed, away from the noise of all my friends, away from the music, away from the partying, away from the crowd, just me and the Lord lying in my bed. I was not at church. I was not at church camp. I was not with anybody else. It was just me and the Lord in the silence of the night, away from everybody else. The Spirit of God touched me, and God spoke to me as I was lying in my bed. And you know, it was so funny because I had no Christian friends and I was not in church. And God spoke to me. What's so unusual was that morning when I got up after that happened, my mom had come by and she had dropped a brochure about Applied Life that was only in its third year. She laid it on my dresser. And, you know, I had been living in sin and doing this for the last 7 or 8 years. And as soon as I saw that brochure, I knew that's where I was going. I'd never been out of Texas. I knew nothing about the ministry there. I knew nothing about the leadership there. But I knew that's where I was going. I had one encounter with Tim's mother at a church 3 years prior to that, at a church meeting that she was at. And she had mentioned to me, I think I'm going to see you again one day. And that's all that was said. And I actually was in from a weekend from college, and that was when I was really, really lost. And my mom had drugged me to church and talked me into coming, and Hetty Lou Brooks was there. And so, you know, I saw that brochure. I knew that's where I was going. And so it was so funny, which was our tradition every weekend. We would go out in the woods and, you know, we would get high and we would drop acid and we would party. We would never go to town. I remember sitting around that campfire with 7 or 8 of my buddies. And out of my mouth, I said, I'm going to a Bible college. And they were like, what? So I'm going to a Bible college in 3 weeks. And they were like, you're crazy. I couldn't even believe it came out of my mouth. It was like I was having an outer body experience, and I was watching myself say this. But literally, church, I'm telling you, when I encountered Christ in my bed, my mind was not renewed, but my heart was born again, and I was a different person. And as I was sitting around that campfire that weekend, just out of habit, as I was sitting around that campfire, I knew I no longer belonged there. And I knew I would never, ever, ever fit in or be happy in that scenario again. And literally within 3 weeks, I was in Hot Springs at Applied Life. And you know, some 30 years later, the rest is history. Now, after that encounter happened, I remember beginning to talk to God. And one night I was sitting outside on a rock and I was looking up at the sky and God was speaking to me in my heart. And he said, Paul, many young men have come into this world and they've lived their life and they've passed on to eternity and nobody remembers their name. See, Jesus was appearing to me and he asked me, he said, Paul, where are you going to go when you die? What are you going to do with your life? See, Jesus was appearing to me. God was speaking to me. And that's what Christ does. When you encounter Jesus, he begins to speak to you in your heart and communicate to you in your heart. And see, I was a changed person at that point. But here's the funny thing about all of this. And now I'm going to backtrack many, many years. I grew up being exposed to church. I sat by my grandfather and my grandmother in church all the time. I knew about religion. I knew all about it. I'd heard the word preached. I'd seen God move. As a matter of fact, I had been exposed to people prophesying. As a young person, I even saw people healed. See, I was exposed to religion. I was taken there. I was taken there. I was younger. I was in my teens, all the way up into my early 20s. I knew about church. I knew about religion. I knew about God. But the problem was Jesus wasn't Lord of my life. See, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I had religion, but I didn't have Jesus Christ. I'd been to church. I'd gone to youth group, but I didn't have Jesus Christ. I didn't have Jesus as the Lord and Savior and Master of my life. And like I said, I was exposed to all these things. I just wasn't different. I didn't have that encounter. See, Saul, for example, Saul was a very religious person. If you read about Saul, and we just read about him, Saul says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Well, go with me to Philippians chapter 3. I want to read this to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Saul was a very religious person, very committed to his religious duties. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything for a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now watch this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that I, by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. See, just like Paul, just like the disciples, we all have to come to the end of us. To the end of us. I had to come to the end of Paul Kern. Paul, Saul, had to come to the end of Saul. Peter had to come to the end of himself. Paul says, I count all things as loss. All things as loss. What does that mean? That means that Paul encountered someone that so changed and revolutionized his life that everything else that he had ever done that he put the most importance on was now nothing but just dung to him. It was just dung. It was worthless to him. He says, I consider that former life and all of those things garbage, a complete waste. See, when the person of Jesus Christ shows up in your life, on the Damascus road of your life, and you encounter Jesus, you're never the same. Your life is forever changed. It is forever, ever changed. See, when Jesus comes, you get saved to the bone. That's what happened for me. I got saved to the bone. I remember telling the Lord after I got saved, and it was fairly early on when I gave my heart to Christ. And man, I was so excited. You know, I was just so on fire, and I was so excited, and I was so in love, and it was the real thing for me. And I remember telling Jesus, I said, Jesus, here's my deal that I'm going to make with you. I'm going to live my life as hard or harder serving you than I did serving the devil all those years of my life. And that has been a commitment that I have kept and I have stayed with, to put the kingdom of God first, not Paul Kern first. See, I put, for 23 years, I put Paul Kern first and what Paul Kern wanted to do. But when Jesus comes and he takes over your life and he becomes your Lord, you're no longer in the driver's seat. Jesus takes over, and now you have this communion and this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And as you go throughout your day, you're talking to the Holy Spirit all throughout your day. Holy Spirit, what divine encounter do you have for me today? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to spend my money? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to live my life? Holy Spirit, all the things that I'm blessed with, how do you want me to use them for your glory? See, that encounter with Jesus completely and totally changes you. It changed the disciples, it changed Paul, and it changes people who encounter him. And see, when you encounter Christ, what it does in your life is it puts you in a position where you see life from a completely different paradigm. You don't see people the same way. You don't see your family the same way. You don't see your possessions the same way. You don't vote the same. You don't entertain yourself the same way. You don't go the same places. You don't think the same thoughts. Everything about your life is radically, radically changed. Because when Christ comes into your life, you don't keep living like he didn't. See, he changes you. He changes you. You're a new person. Now, I'm not talking about a low-quality, emotional decision that you make when the lights are down low and the music's playing and the conditions are just right for you to go down to the altar. I'm talking about a face-to-face encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what that does is it changes how you run your home. It changes how you treat your mate. It changes how you take care of your children. It changes how you vote. It changes how you spend your money. It changes every aspect of your life. But see, I came to the end of myself. And every single person, Ashley and I were talking about this last night, every single person, if they're going to encounter Christ in a real way and have that impacting, life-changing, life-altering moment happen, they have to come to the end of themselves. You have to come to the end of yourselves. I love Galatians 2:20. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and it's our senior pastor, one of his favorite scriptures. Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it is no longer, look at that. It is no longer what? Help me. I who live. It is no longer what? Help me. I who live. But it is who? Christ. Paul Kern was dead and buried in 1988. In a watery grave in baptism, I was dead and buried. And when I came up out of that water, I was a new person and I've never looked back. I have never looked back. I've been a different person ever since. Now, I give all the credit to Christ for that. I don't take any of the glory from God. All of that glory goes to God because without him, it's very easy to see what I was capable of. I had produced a lot of death and hurt and problems in my life over many, many years. But when Christ came into my life, everything changed. And that's what happens when Christ comes into your life. You see, once I did what I felt like doing. See, Paul was in the driver's seat. Paul made the decisions. Are you hearing me, young people? You know, some of you young people in here, you teenagers, listen to me. See, I was in the driver's seat. My mom gave me a Bible when I was in high school. You know what I did with it? I threw it in the back seat. I threw it in the trunk of my car. Tossed it. This is the most boring, irrelevant, unapplicable book you could ever possibly have. I threw it in the trunk of my car. Never dug it out. Had nothing to do with it. But when I encountered Christ, it's amazing what happened. That Bible came alive. It was don't do this and don't do that. And you can't go here and you can't do that and you can't do this. It was just a book of can'ts to me. And then most of it didn't even make sense to me. I couldn't even understand it. It was just boring as it could possibly be. Why would anybody take time to read that dumb book? And so it stayed in the back of my car for many, many years. All through my high school years, I never opened it up. And at 23 years old, I still had that Bible. And when I met Jesus, I dug that Bible out all wrinkled. And I remember sitting on my bed and I opened that Bible up and I began to read in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. I began to read in Matthew and it was like Jesus was right there with me. It was incredible. The Bible came alive. It was unreal. I had never been able to understand it. It was dead. I couldn't connect with it. But after I made Christ the Lord of my life, everything changed. The whole course and direction of my life changed. See, once I was carnal and selfish, but now I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, my life is different. Once I did what felt good to me, but now I have a new Lord. Now I have a new owner. Now I have a new master. My decisions are no longer my decisions to make. My decisions are his decisions to make. He guides me. He directs me. He leads me. He controls my tongue. He controls my thought life. He controls my actions. Because, see, once sin held me captive, but I've been set free, praise God. See, I don't have to do what I used to have to do. I've been set free. I don't have to sin anymore, habitually, because I have a new owner. I have a new master in life. I've been set free. See, once I was a slave to fear. But now I've been set free. I'm a slave to peace. I don't have to wake up every day being afraid and worry and concern. See, that transition from me being the Lord of my life to Christ being the Lord of my life changed everything in my life. This is what it means to be saved. This is what we're talking about this year. In Christian Ministries Church, the thing that we want to impart to our people and the thing that we want all of our church to contemplate is this. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Over every area of your life. Because see, Jesus there's kind of a saying that I've heard over the years, and it kind of goes like this. If Jesus is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. And, you know, and I just had it explained to me when I got saved, when I was much younger, I had a guy really do me a real justice by speaking the truth to me about the gospel. And here's what he told me. He said, Paul, you can't say no to a master. You can't say no to a Lord. Your answer is yes, Lord. Right? If a master asks you to do something, or your boss, let's put it in modern day terms. If your boss asks you to do something, you don't say no. You say yes. When would you like it done? See, and that's the way it is when Christ comes into our life, we're no longer the boss. Christ becomes our boss. That's what it means to be saved. See, you become a new person with a new purpose. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, it says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Did you hear that? I don't think you heard that. I'm going to read it again. Listen. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. As we start this new year, and we're talking about Jesus is Lord, it's very important for each one of us to ask ourselves this question, to contemplate this question. Is Jesus the Lord over every area of my life? Is he the Lord over every area of my life? Well, he's the Lord over this area of my life, but he's not the Lord over my mouth. He's the Lord over this area of my life, but he's not the Lord over the area of my fantasy life. You know, he's the Lord over this area of my life, but he's not the Lord over the area where alcohol has control of my life. Or he's the Lord over this area of my life, but he's not the Lord over this area where I struggle with prescription medication. See, he's the Lord over this area of my life, but he's not the Lord over the way I mother my children or the way I father my children. He's the Lord over this area of my life, but he's not the Lord over how I treat my mate. See, what we're trying to bring all of our people is to a place where for your life to be radically changed, Jesus begins to become master and Lord over all areas of your life. And it's beautiful and it's awesome. Because you become a person who is in fellowship with the Holy Spirit every day, all day long. You're visiting with God. I love it. When I'm in my truck driving down the road, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with me as I travel and as I go up and down the roads. And I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm spending time with God. I'm fellowshipping with him. And I'm saying, okay, God, what's the plan? What's the plan? What do you got for me? What do you want me to do? You know, who's my assignment? What divine appointments do you have for me today? Okay, you know, what people do you want to bring across my path so that I can share Jesus with or speak truth to or encourage or motivate? You know, what do you have for me today, God? What's my assignment? And so all throughout the day, because I have a new master, it's not about what Paul wants to do and where Paul wants to go and how Paul wants to live his life and who Paul wants to spend his time with and how Paul wants to spend his money. No, God, how do you want me to invest? Who do you want me to invest into? It's none of this is mine. It's all yours. You are the master of my life. You are the Lord of my life now. So you direct me. You guide me. You lead me. You influence everything I do. Here's my question for you today. And it's for every single person in this room. Leadership, older, younger, it's for every single person in this room to contemplate. Each one of us, we have to contemplate. Is Jesus the Lord of our life? Is he the Lord of your life? In every area of your life, are you actively submitting and giving Jesus the reins of your life? Kenan and I, we drove down here yesterday. I thought his parents would probably be glad that he got to come visit for a couple days, so he rode with me. And you know, Kenan was in the truck with me in the passenger seat, and we were driving, and we had a great time fellowshipping and talking. But, you know, Kenna never put his hand on the steering wheel of my truck the whole time I was driving. Why? Well, that would be tragic, right? I don't know if you've ever had anybody do that. Number one, it's scary. And number two, you just don't do that. You can't have two different people with their hand on the steering wheel. You're going to wreck that thing in short order. But for a lot of people, it's like Jesus is the passenger in their car. And Jesus, come on, you can ride along. Just don't be touching my wheel. Now, we want him, if, you know, we're going a certain way, and Jesus says, you missed your turn. Yeah, but I'm not, you know, I'm not, that's not where I'm planning on going. I'm going see such and such and so and so. Well, I don't really think that's a good idea. Jesus isn't going to reach over and grab the wheel of your life. Even though we have a great song about that. He's not going to do that. Because the way this works is because you have to willingly submit yourself to him. And there's never going to be, you know, say uncle. And he's got your arm twisted behind. Say uncle, you know. You got to do that. It's never going to happen. That's not the way the Lord works. It's a willing submission to do what, well, nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, and that's exactly where you'll live. I know all about it. I've lived there for many, many years. You have to come to a place where you say, okay, I submit this to Christ. I submit this alcohol to Christ. I submit this to Christ. I submit my marriage to Christ. I submit my attitude to Christ. I submit my fears to Christ. I submit my anger to Christ. I submit my sharp tongue to Christ. I submit these things to the Lordship of Jesus. And now it's no longer I who live. Come on, see, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And now Christ makes decisions for my life. So my question to you this morning is this. Is Jesus the Lord of your life as you're attending Christian Ministries Church? Or maybe somehow you've gotten off track. You know, because it's so easy to do church. It's so easy to get off track with religious duties, religious activities. We go through the motion. Well, I got to come to church because it's Sunday. You know, I needed to be there Wednesday night because, well, I got to get to CMA, you know, Monday morning because school starts. It's real easy to go through the motions of being a religious person. But Paul was religious. Peter was religious. Many people are religious, but that's not the difference maker in your life. The difference maker in your life is, are you alive to God? And the way you come alive to God is through Jesus Christ becoming the Lord of your life. See, Paul had an encounter. Arise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for a purpose. See, when Jesus had an encounter with you, it was for a divine purpose. A divine purpose. A high and holy purpose. Each and every person in this room, a divine and holy purpose. Do you wake up every morning with a sense of that divine and holy purpose? As you get ready to go to work, do you sense that divine and holy purpose? When you get ready to go to school, do you sense that divine and holy purpose? See, I'm partnering with Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. He leads me. He guides me. He directs me. I fellowship with him. He fellowships with me. He directs my life. He guides my life. He's the Lord of my life. He's leading my decisions. Everything I do is influenced by Christ because I have a real, vibrant, passionate, alive relationship with Jesus. Or you're just religious. And you can do it here just as easily as you can do it anywhere. You can do it here just as easily as you can do it anywhere. I did it a lot growing up. But when you have that encounter, see, when you meet the real deal, when you get a hold of Christ, it changes the course and the direction of your life. And you don't really have a choice. Now, here's the great thing about it. When I made Christ the Lord of my life, it was the best decision I ever made. You know, salvation is really selfish, if you think about it, because it's to save you from hell. So it's really kind of a selfish thing. I mean, it's a win-win for us. But what God does is, God not only saves us, but then he commissions us and gives us this awesome plan to go out and fulfill. Yep. Now, is it easy? No, but it's not nearly as hard as hugging a toilet like I did every Sunday morning. It's not nearly as hard as looking in my rearview mirror when the sheriff deputy is behind me and thinking, uh-oh, I hope he didn't pull me over. It's not nearly as hard when some girl's father shows up at my doorstep ready to choke the life out of me. I mean, that's hard. Living for Christ, young people, living for Christ, it's not hard. It's not nearly as hard as catching a venereal disease or teen pregnancy. You understand what I'm saying? It's not nearly as hard. God's plan, when we submit to God, yes, is there stretching? Absolutely. Those are in Leaders Academy. You're learning about that. There's stretching. There's growth. Many of you in your own personal life being challenged on the job, being challenged with your family, being challenged in your personal life as you're following Christ and you're pursuing him and you're praying, you're seeking him. Yes, it's a challenge, but it's not nearly as hard. And God brings us into this place of blessing and influence so that we can be a blessing for so many other people. I mean, look what's happening right here on this campus. See, when Christ comes into your life, you are different. You're different. Now I want to end with this. There's a parable that Jesus shared in the scripture, and you guys will be familiar with this. It's called the Pearl of Great Price. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So there was a man, and he was out one day, and he was in a field, a big field, and he discovered a pearl of great price. It's extremely valuable. And so what this guy did, Jesus said, is he went back and he took all of his personal belongings and possessions that he had in his life, and he sold all of it. Everything that he had, he sold it, and he got money, and guess what he did with that? He went and purchased that field. You want to know why? Because there was a pearl of great price in that field. And he went and purchased that pearl of great price. He valued that pearl above all things. Everything that he owned, everything that he considered of worth and value, it was nothing compared to that pearl of great price. So here's my question for Christian Ministries this morning. What is your pearl of great price? What is your pearl in your life of great price? What is your pearl? Is it your job? Your family? Your husband? Your wife? Your hobbies? What is your pearl of great price today? See, I think it's important for all of us to ask ourselves that question. What is our pearl of great price? Jesus was showing that here's what has to be your pearl, the kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That has to be the pearl of great price in your life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God already knows what we need. He knows everything that we need. He knows it before we ask. God knows that you need transportation. God knows that you need a good job. God knows that, you know, you need a mate. God knows that you need provision. God knows all these things. God knows that your plans for college or whatever it may be. God knows all those things. But here's what God wants to do. God wants to get you where you put him first. Because when you put him first, then he has control of the wheel in your life, and he won't wreck your life. But I'm promising you, no matter how good your intentions are, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you will wreck it. It will happen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.